It's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. And your host today is Leslie Carrier.
The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization whose mission is to educate voters about government issues on the local, state, and national level. In addition, each year the League chooses a topic to study more in depth by interviewing experts or authorities in the field to determine what, if any, changes need to take place, what could be advocated for, or what needs to be brought to the attention of the general public. This year, the League of Women Voters chose to study the issue of mental health care availability in Greene County. Our guest today to talk about this is Lisa Hall. She is an assistant professor of sociology at Missouri State University and also a member of the League of Women Voters Study Committee who studied this issue. Welcome, and thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Leslie. I'm happy to be here.
Great. First of all, give us the background on why the League chose this topic to study and why it was of importance and interest at this time.
Sure. Each year, our League may choose to conduct a local study, and a definite majority of the members this time agreed it should focus on mental health availability. There are three primary reasons. The first is prevalence. About 25% of adults in a given year deal with a diagnosable mental disorder, and 6% of those, it is a serious mental illness. So most families have dealt directly or indirectly with mental health issues. In other words, it hits home. Daily, we see and hear news reports of events involving mental illness. Secondly, last year was actually the 50th anniversary of the Community Mental Health Act. Despite the humanitarian ideal behind the act, and despite the efforts of many good and dedicated citizens and healthcare providers, there has been little progress because of the double-edged sword of medication, because of defunding, because of budget cuts. And third, mental health availability really is a nonpartisan issue. We see all kinds of people of all political persuasions calling for action in the area of mental illness. And I personally would add one more reason. I thought it was really feasible to study mental health availability in our area because we're such a collaborative community.
Well, going with that collaborative issue, you obviously talked with a lot of agencies and organizations and many experts in the field here. Who did you choose to talk to and why, and how did you collect the data from what they had to say?
Sure, you bet. To date, we have had 15 formal in-depth group interviews, and we've had several more informal talks with others, and we have additional new interviews planned, and we have some second visits planned as well. But just some examples, the Ozarks Counseling Center, the Greene County Jail, Center City Counseling, Burl, the Chief of Police, Paul Williams, NAMI, Clarity, the Regional Department of Mental Health. Those are some of the people that we've spoken with.
So after discussion with these service providers in the area, these are the people that are on the front line of mental health care. What were determined to be some of the main issues that they felt needed to be addressed in terms of mental health in our area?
Right. You know, our issues here are not that different from the issues of the state and the nation. The mental health care system is a patchwork of funding. It's a mix of providers, some of whom are restricted from providing certain needed services, and they're trying to serve a wide range of diverse disorders. There are federal, state, and local funds from government, nonprofit, from private insurance, and out-of-pocket monies. Most of these monies have restrictions on who can be served and with what kinds of treatment, and sometimes it's only by certain kinds of professionals. Providers include psychiatrists, psychologists, psychiatric nurses, social workers, and licensed practical counselors. And only psychiatrists can prescribe, and we don't have enough in the area. And licensed practical counselors can only counsel those up to 18. Okay, and then the range of diverse disorders, mental illness ranges from depression to schizophrenia. We also have developmental disabilities that fall into mental health issues, and substance disorders from alcoholism to painkiller addiction to gambling. So society tends to find the developmentally disabled worthy of funding and those who are addicted not as worthy of funding. So society tends to be misinformed and afraid of mental illness. So put a little more specifically, we have found so far that there are many people in a large gap who do not get services. And secondly, that prisons and jails have become the largest provider of mental health services.
After visiting with all these mental health care providers, what are the immediate needs? Obviously, there are way more needs that can be funded or addressed right away, but what are the things that are probably the very top of the list on everybody's agenda?
We heard many people whom we talked to say these three things that I will list: to expand Medicaid, to be able to move the working and some middle class people out of that large gap where they can't get services into the realm of being eligible for services. Also, to allow more professionals to perform more services so that fewer people have unmet needs due to what seems to be kind of self-interested technicalities and bureaucracy. And then also we have hours-long treatment for dire emergencies, okay, like 96-hour holds. And we have what you might think of as decades-long treatment for those who are incarcerated, as you would see in the federal medical prison. But we do not have a good system of what I would call middle ground treatment, those who need anything in between, which is the majority of the people.
You mentioned the Greene County Jail a few minutes ago, and many times those with mental health issues end up in the Greene County Jail because they're arrested and then they've entered the legal system or through the law enforcement end of it. What can be done beforehand with those individuals, maybe to prevent them from entering the legal system?
That's a very good question, and we heard different responses from the folks that we talked to. What I see is collaboration in the community to brainstorm ways for individuals to try to solve that problem. For example, we learned in speaking with those from the jail that some attorneys and some psychologists were using their own time, their own efforts to try to obtain guardianship for some of the people that were in and out of jail. And some of these mentally ill people would be in and out of jail because they would simply be sitting in a public place for too long, or they would be walking down the street talking to themselves and they would be arrested for public nuisance. So that's one example of something that can be done, obtaining guardianship so that care decisions can be made for those people who really can't make them for themselves.
You've mentioned a couple different times how collaborative this community is.
Yes.
And I know that several of the mental health providers, the hospitals, the counseling centers, all have been working together. What did you guys find out through your study on some of the effective collaborative methods that have been utilized?
You know, there are several ways, but most of them involve what I would say is great sacrifice and things that could eventually lead to burnout for these people. Great people in our community, they do collaborate, but they have to fight to do what they're good at, or they work a lot longer hours, or they have to learn to do things that's really outside of their field, and they're not compensated for it. So I'll give you some examples. Ozarks Counseling Center sponsored a symposium last fall that brought all kinds of people in mental health together to discuss, you know, the state of the system. Some police and some hospital personnel have received crisis intervention training in order to better discern criminal actions from mentally ill behavior. Students from Forest Institute and from MSU's counseling program, they provide free supervised support services to the community. Clarity and Forest have become part of Burl, and according to Burl, these are steps towards achieving an integrated system. Families and individuals help each other every day through NAMI. Judge Peggy Davis heads the mental health court, even though there is no stable funding source. And I just want to say that I agree with Barbara Davis, who is our state league's director and healthcare chair. She said, "If it were up to the social service and healthcare professionals in Missouri, this would be the healthiest, best cared for state in the nation. No matter which part of the state you're living in, you've got some great people doing great work, and I'm proud that the league is in the battle with them. And I really feel the same way about folks in Springfield and in Greene County."
Well, great. Thank you very much for being with us and bringing the attention to this important issue. Our guest has been Lisa Hall, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Missouri State University and a member of the League of Women Voters Study Committee on Mental Health Care Availability in Greene County. This has been a program of the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. This program and others are available on the web at ksmu.org. Click on the series tab, then on Making Democracy Work.